Hey, thanks for joining us on the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. If you'd like more information on C3 Church, please visit myc3church.net. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, this message, you know, every week I'll be going, I'm in an ironing, do I really want to do this message? And each week I've talked about boundaries and freedom. And you know, there's some sort of like scalpel style preaching in this where we're just cutting into some areas that might need attention. And I can't see any other way to approach it because I get the feeling that people are waiting for God to do stuff that He's waiting for you to do. And you're getting sometimes disappointed that God's not fixing up the marriage or the relationship when He's waiting for you to fix it up. And you say, well, what about prayer? And what about God? And what about, you know, helping, you know, or just doing it all? He does help. But we're the doers and He's the helper. If we don't do it, it doesn't happen. And I believe the doors are going to open here today in your mind and in your life if you'll understand what the Bible has got to say to us about how your future is going to open up. You know where you walk up to David Jones at the mall? You're walking up and some of those sensors, they're a little late, right? They're a little slow. And you're almost at the door and you think, it's not going to open. And then you take one more step and boom. There is a boundary that you got to cross. I'm talking about freedom and boundaries. And there are certain circumferences. Last week we talked about walk circumspectly, which means put a circle around your life. Have some walls, have some boundaries that are healthy boundaries for you, because without those, you're very vulnerable. And you may think that dismantling some of those boundaries or disciplines is going to set you free in the name of the kind of freedom that we live in the world, like a moral free fall. But you actually find yourself becoming enslaved instead of getting free. Freedom is the ability to say no. The power to say no is when you've got freedom that you're not being manipulated by any other thing and you have power over your own life. So coming to this, I got two messages this weekend, today. This is the part one of this message and tonight is part two. It's two lists in the New Testament that are amazing lists about you and me and our makeup. Now, the message I'm bringing tonight is in Timothy, where Paul is writing in his letter. He says, the Holy Spirit says that in the last days, perilous times will come because. And I've done searches on why the world thinks perilous times will come. And it goes through all these lists from GFCs to government legislation to hardline religious groups to lack of gun control, to bikie gangs, to drugs, to even to dingoes. And not one of them mentioned character flaw. But the Bible goes straight to a list of character flaws. The collapse of our integrity brings perilous times on our lives. And there's no point in railing at God for things that we have missed out on doing in our own life because we were expecting Him to do something while He was looking to us to actually go to work on our life. So we go to work on our lives in a lot of areas. We've got financial goals, we've got housing goals, car goals, educational goals. I want to talk about character goals. I want to talk about building this wall. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament times, all the houses were built by bricks, brick upon brick upon brick. And that was how a wall was built. And that was how a boundary got established. And in our lives, it's exactly the same. We are what we repeatedly do. That's a quote from Aristotle. And so a brick is what we repeatedly do. It's there every day. It's there again tomorrow. It's there again the next day. It's just there in my life. And when we come into 2 Peter 1:5, this is where I'm going to begin. It says, but for also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. It doesn't say for this reason, giving all diligence, make sure your superannuation fund is intact so that you're going to have a good retirement. Giving all diligence, make sure that you are gainfully employed. It says, rather add to your faith virtue. And then it goes through a list of characteristics that God is wanting you and I to have in our lives so that we're not just set free, but we stay free. And we live with a freedom in our life that cannot be entangled again. Now, in a world where we hear a lot about grace, we would think that this is not expected of us or not even thought of as being part of the program. You mean I gotta go to work? Yeah, God wants you to go to work on your life and change it. As you go to work on it and seek to develop characteristics that are sometimes mocked and derided in the world today, but you say, I'm gonna build this kind of life, you will find the Holy Spirit will empower you to do exactly that. And when we go through this amazing passage, it shows us that at the end of it, that is the key to actually having an abundant, fruitful, blessed life. We can't live with a complete breakdown in our integrity and expect to get blessed by the grace of God somehow. He may do a few things that are wonderful, but he really came into your life to actually change you. And I know we sing about him. Yeah, he's changed my life. He set me free. But do we really know what that means? He's actually trying to change your way of living so that we stop lying and we start telling the truth. Not just so that we get free, yeah, but actually get free from habits in our life. And any person who's had an enslavement to a sin, which we would call in our language addiction or fixation or obsession, and sometimes we say to a disorder, but it's actually an enslavement. This thing has got us. Always following that comes a trail of other things, like lying to cover it up, like presenting another image and like stealing to fund the habit or whatever it is. So there's a whole family of things that come around a hole in that wall of our character. So when Jesus sets us free, he wants us to rebuild that wall. But I have found this, that sometimes he doesn't set people free instantly. He lets them resist the problem again and again and again, so they develop willpower that holds them in a position where they maintain their freedom, because that will has not been exercised in this area. So you've come to the gym this morning, people, amen. I know you thought you're coming down to the ice cream parlor, but that's, you know, some other service we'll have later on. Here we are at the gym and your fitness instructor is out the front. They can never count those guys. They never know when it's actually 10. But for this reason, what reason? We have escaped the world where there is decay, corruption. People's lives get destroyed. I have had the misfortune of watching young boys of 15, 16, 17, 18, full of dreams and aspirations, get caught up in cycles and habits and things. And by the age of 30, their world is a mess, just destroyed. And so Jesus comes in, they say, yes, save me. And he saves them. But to actually deal with the problems that caused it in the first place is where Christ wants to take you. I'm an incurable disciple maker. When I see a person who's doing something that is just a little out of kilt I can't help myself, I just gotta tell them. Sometimes it's not that much appreciated because people are very defensive about areas that they're embarrassed about. So don't be good talking. No, you don't understand. If you knew where I'd be, you don't have the pressure I'm. And so we would like to excuse ourselves from our behavior because of other dysfunctions in our circumstances or whatever. But you can't stay there. You can't keep justifying a flaw in the character. You got to say, no, I'm going to change this. I'm not going to justify it or excuse myself or try to explain it anymore or give an understanding of it. I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to make him here today in Jesus' name. I'm going to make it right here, right now. Amen. So, and the thing that prompted me, I want to revisit that. The thing that prompted me is I kept finding people who once upon a time, I thought it was like a throwaway, almost humorous problem, video game addiction. But then I've met people where it's ruined their world, ruined their marriages. 5 hours a night, can't give it up. Ultimatum comes, video games or me? I'll take the video games, thanks. Lose a family over an addiction. I'm just letting that land because, you know, the average age of video gamers is 45 years old. That's another big shock. You know that millennials are less drug affected than their parents. How crazy is that? Well, the boomers criticizing the millennials, but these millennials are actually doing better. They're getting their act together a little better than some of the previous generation. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. I feel like some people are just gonna storm out any minute. What do you mean? No, I'm trying to help you here. The dentist is here, you know. I tried to keep the numbing in place for you. At giving all diligence, this is important, Peter is saying. Add to your faith virtue. Now, faith liberates you. So he says, add moral excellence, which is what the word virtue means, to faith, so that the liberty that you get from your faith doesn't become license. Did you feel like I can do anything? Woo, I'm set free. My faith, boldness, God has set me free from legalism. I'm walking in the power of God. Anything's possible. He says, no, add to your faith some moral excellence. Have some high standards in your life. Things that you're not gonna do this and you are gonna do that. And then to virtue, add knowledge. It's important to increase your knowledge. Peter was a high-minded person, even though he was a rough fisherman, and he realized, I need to know stuff. I need to get educated and not just be a faith guy and a moral guy. I need to increase my level of education to navigate my way through life properly. I need to know about things. And the absence of knowledge is very debilitating in your life. There are lots of things in these phones that I got no idea until somebody tells you, says, hey, you can use it for this, you know. You can do this with it. I go, wow, that's amazing. I heard about a guy who traveled on a boat from London to New York once. He saved up all his money, bought the ticket, got on the boat, took on crackers and water bottles and sat outside peering in every night at the dinner, at the dining room. And they're all sitting there eating their meals. Oh man, you know, I'll eat my crackers. He did the whole 14-day trip across the Atlantic there, arrives in New York and coming off the bridge, the captain's shaking all the hands and says, didn't see you in the dining room. He says, oh, I could only afford enough for the ticket. He said, son, the meals were in the price of the ticket. They were included. Absence of knowledge can really defraud you from a whole bunch of things in life. Get to know what is going on in what God has got for you. Go to Bible college. Whoa, now there's an idea. Go to C3 College, get to understand scripture. Do you know that in the days when slaves were set free in America, many of the slave owners did not allow any of their slaves to learn how to read or write? Because if they learn how to do it, they might read how they've been set free. So as long as they were ignorant, they could keep them bound. So once education hits you and you understand what God has done for you and what Jesus has brought into your world, you think, wow, this is astonishing. I didn't know that. So increasing our understanding is super important. And then in verse 6, to knowledge, add self-control. This is adding one thing after another. Now, in my early Christian life, used to do a little inventory, a little character audit on myself. So I would go through, I'd just think about my spiritual life, my ministry life, my family life, my conversational life, all these areas, and I would give myself a score, 1 to 10. I did this for about 3 years. When I first started out preaching, and I thought, okay, and the lowest scores, I select the four or five lowest scores, and I make that my goal for the next 30 days. So as I would go through the next 30 days, if I said my patience really needs some help, or my conversation, I'm just saying some stupid things that I shouldn't be saying, or, you know, I'm buying things at the checkout counter and I shouldn't be buying, you know, or my financial controls are a little out of whack. And so over the next 30 days, I'd have that goal. That was me applying my diligence to going to work on myself to try and improve the way I did life and the kind of person I was. At the end of the month of 30 days, I used to have it in the back of my Bible and I read it and I'd give myself a score at the end of the day out of the five things. And, you know, it's 20% for each area. And then I would, at the bottom, you know, I'd add it all up and had a, you know, 73% day or something like that. People say, what's your day been like? I say, oh, about 73%. You know, it's like... And each day, go through, and then you'd see one thing that you keep on. I'd see one thing that just kept on falling over on, and I'd carry it over to the next month. Paul says, judge yourself so that you are not judged. And so that's like, take a little inventory on yourself. How are you doing in life? How are you doing with your patience? How are you doing with that area? Because once you set a goal for 30 days and you change it, I know this, I heard that one of the reasons I started doing that, it was because I heard you can create a new habit within 28 days. Just 4 weeks, do the same thing and it'll be, and often they replace old bad habits. And just by sheer growth, you can set yourself free. By sheer diligence, you can say, I'm gonna nail this puppy, stop spending money on stupid stuff. I'm gonna start putting away money on this. I'm gonna actually get my act together and get my life together instead of thinking Jesus is gonna do it one day for me, I'm living by grace. Actually take a hold of the reins and say, today, let's go up a level and say, we can do this, amen. Sometimes I think our preaching gives people the idea that God's gonna come along and just do everything for you. But that's actually not true. In the New Testament, he's telling us to do a whole bunch of things. And I know we might be thinking, oh, Pastor, you know, my work, my week's been just murderous. Yeah, you know, I can't even be bothered doing the inventory, let alone setting some goals. I mean, five, one would be enough. Yeah, well, go for one. I mean, just think of one thing, okay? Like too much of something or whatever. So I'm going to nail that thing. And when you do that, the discipline that you achieve bleeds into a whole range of areas in your other parts of life so that you're able to deny yourself and pick up the cross and actually start following Jesus. You got to understand the reason I'm saying this is because a lot of our difficulties and challenges are unnecessary. They didn't have to happen. And we could have avoided it if we'd just done some smarter things, if we had not been such a rebel, if we'd listened to our parents, if we'd just honored our parents or thought about actually being teachable. And these areas which may not be there right now, maybe we're a very opinionated person who knows everything. No, you can't teach me anything. Well, that's gonna get you in all sorts of trouble. The Bible says, be a teachable person, learn, you know, and say, yeah, I need to get this. And I need to be open to hear and so that I can actually progress my life. As you make that decision, you will find Jesus will help you. So verse 6, I'm in the second verse right now. To knowledge and self-control. And this is the main area that's in both this list and in this list I'm gonna go through tonight. Man, really, really gonna expect a huge crowd tonight, aren't I? Amen. You want me to go through that again? And... But this is honestly, I'm telling you, I know the Lord is, because I've tried to not preach this. I thought, God, I gotta give him something more bouncy and positive on a Sunday morning. You know, I like that. But I have felt the pressure on me to share this because I believe that this will help you immensely. Rather than me just put my hand on your head. I can't hold an altar call for character. Come down, I'm gonna lay my hands on you and you're gonna become a character. Well, some of you already are, but you know. You can't come down and say, yeah, I want character. Oh, put my hand, it doesn't have, you can't have a miracle of character impartation. It's something that you build into your life. It's not gifted into your life. It's not a talent in your life. And sometimes people's talents and gifts have taken them way beyond what their character can cope with. They got too much money, spent it all on the wrong stuff, and ruined their world. They would have been better to not have got the cash. They would have been better to go through rough stuff and build character. And as you go through tough times and you determine, I'm going to get to the other side, you are building something in your life that's far more powerful than any of the rewards you're getting. My God, I am preaching right now. I'm telling you, if you just become a success-oriented person, you're going to corrupt good values. If you think, I got to sell 3 cars today, I got to sell that house, if that's your success moment, you'll do anything to make that happen. I'll tell lies, I'll cheat somebody else out of the job, I'll do whatever. But if you say, my goal is to be an honest person, my goal is to have integrity in the commercial space and to be an upright person who lies straight in bed at night, who is reliable and people will respect me. Even if I lose the deal, I don't care. My success is based on this achievement rather than that achievement. And that's important. But I'll give you a funny little story, hilarious story. Simon McIntyre and I were both postmen in Christchurch, New Zealand, when we were just boys, newly saved boys. I was a youth leader, he was in the youth group, and I was a postman, he was a postman. We rode bikes and we'd go down the road, and we were good at our job. We're kind of a little competitive, but we'd always try to beat the other guy. And so it was like Christmas time came, and everybody would sign the books 3 o'clock because you got triple time as soon as you went over like 11 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And everybody was getting 4 hours of triple time just like that. But I was finishing at 12:30. And Simon was finishing around, 12:35. And, and so the boss comes to me, he says, I'm getting complaints from all the other guys. You're making them look bad. I said, why? He said, because they're all putting down 3 o'clock. It's standard practice here. You just, even though they're finishing at like 1 o'clock or up to, we just put it down. So why can't you join in? I said, I didn't finish at 3 o'clock. I finished at 12:30. And so I'm just putting that down. He says, why would you do that? I said, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. It's like, I wasn't trying to be it was a painful moment because I didn't want to be one of those sort of, self-righteous, toffee-nosed, the rest of you sinners, you can do what you like. I wasn't like that. I was just trying to say, look, that's my jam. I got to put down a reflection of reality. And so anyway, he came again, tried to really ring it. He said, you got to do this. I'm getting so much pressure from the other guys. So I said, no, I'm sorry, man. We this is the way it is. And you can take the job if you like. But they didn't. So what they did is they put me on a run that normally was done by a car. And I was on a bicycle. So it was 19 miles long and it was uphill right out to Sumner out there. I was up Redcliffs. But I was still finishing at like 2 o'clock. And so I'd put 2 o'clock and I said, man. So I just left it like that. And I didn't hear any more from it. Payday came. And the guys were all opening up their envelopes, so there's this cash in there. I said, how much did you get? He says, it was like $800 for 2 weeks' work or whatever. It was huge money in those days, like a fortune. So I thought, I might not be like, 400, half that because of, and no triple time, whatever. I go through it, $800, same as him. The boss had cooked the books, baby, amen. I don't know, there's just something had happened. But the Bible says, ask no questions for conscience sake. Amen. So I just said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I did what I was meant to do. He will look after you. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. I like that motto better than what it is now. Don't get caught. Like the police thing, don't get caught. It used to be do the right thing. Don't get caught is like, get away with it. And to knowledge, add self-control. Get yourself under control. If you've got a temper that's out of control, then do something of anger management because that will wreck your life. You will say things and do things that will destroy relationships. And you It will wreck, people will not feel comfortable around you. You will not have close friends. So deal with self-control over appetites and things you want to have and the spending of money, and all of these things are disciplines that will hold you in good stead in your life. And you will plod, and every day you put another brick in that boundary and you're building a beautiful life that will be able, God will be able to use. The Bible says, present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And He wants to use us all in magnificent ways. What we're presenting sometimes is a pretty broken up thing that he needs to fix up on a few points and work with us in making that happen. To self-control, add perseverance. Perseverance is so needed in a transient world. It's being able to hold fast to a goal in spite of the opposition. There are no shortcuts to great character. To keep going when you don't want to places us in the pathway that pleases God. We must also accept that we're going to travel at different speeds, but you still persevere. When the hill is steeper, you're going slower, but you're in a stronger gear. When you're going downhill, you got less control. You're going fast, everything's great, but the whole journey's not going to be that. The journey is up and down, around corners and over, but it's just not a simple journey. Perseverance to keep going is one of the most powerful things you can have in your character, that you are predictable. I know that sounds boring, but boring's not bad. A little bit of boring's okay. He's predictable. I know that when I meet him, he's going to be a happy, gracious, loving person. I don't know what his mood is like today. I don't know what she's going to be like this morning. Just everybody wait. Out she goes. Good, happy. Oh, she's happy today. You know, you don't want to have that. You want consistency, perseverance, so that we are predictably reliable. My Lord, this is painfully good preaching, right? Sorry, Paul. Normally we're a lot happier around here, you know, but today I'm just, needing to, there's a few people I got to fix up. You know, that's not really. Then godliness, add to perseverance, godliness, which means God-likeness. So it's to be like heaven on earth. To be the air, the aroma of heaven in this world. To godliness, brotherly kindness. The greatest pain in the neck is some self-righteous Christian who is judging you. So add to your godliness. You're godly and you're morally excellent. Wonderful, we love that. Be kind though too. Don't be judging everybody because they're not matching up to the standards that you live by. Understand, give people breadth. Brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. The crowning trait of all of these character traits is the love of God. Love people, love one another, love God in heaven, love people who aren't lovable, just love people. And if you don't know how to do it, think of somebody who's like that. Think of Chris Pringle. Think of a person who just seems to be loving, loving, loving all the time. Makes me, amen, I love it, amen. Just how do people do that? They keep loving people that are difficult to love and unusual. Okay, so here's my big summation, people, in verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Fruitfulness comes because we went to work on our lives to become fruitful people. And I like the word fruitful better than the word successful. Success is good. I'm into being, you know, for people to be very successful at what they do. But it's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to be fruitful, and to be fruitful is to reproduce who you are in other people. That's what fruitfulness is. So when I see qualities and characteristics that are in me being formed in other people, and they're good ones, that is called fruitfulness. We should interview people's friends and family rather than them themselves. Oh, that's too scary. No, let's not even go there. No, that's such a bad idea right here. All right, here's verse 9. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. Okay, a vision, for you to have vision about your future. Now this is really, really important. No one move. Listen to me, eyes this way. Think about this. Put your pen on your paper if you're gonna write it down, because this is incredible. Your vision is depending on you having these qualities resident in your life. A vision of depth, length, and breadth is based on quality character. A lapse in character kills your vision. Think Samson. Literally had his eyes plucked out of his head because of a lapse in character. Perilous times didn't come on him because of the GFC or because of gun control laws. It was because of somewhere in his character, he just never got a hold of that area of his life and brought it under control. He had gifts from God, powerful strength from God. He had leadership qualities, had immense charisma. People loved him. And yet, deep down in his soul, he had never dealt with this thing. He let it run riot. It was a delicious little morsel for him. Forbidden fruit always tastes sweeter. He wasn't prepared to have FOMO, fear of missing out. He wasn't prepared to own that and say, I'm gonna miss out on that part of my life. I'm gonna deny myself and follow Jesus. He'd still have his eyes in his head, still have vision. A lapse in character kills vision. A fractured conscience blinds a man. Guilt buries hope. Hope is an easy outcome for an untroubled soul. Hope simply rises and becomes crystal clear where there is no dark clouds of guilt and demons of torment. Those short on character will be short on vision. If we forget we've been cleansed from sin and make no progress into a fruitful future, this isn't just about the sins we were engaged in before we met the Lord. This is about also those we commit as a Christian. If we forget the pain and destruction sin brought us, we will be doomed to repeat them again and again and travel through the same old sorry cycle of temptation yielding, pleasure turning to guilt, physical, emotional, and circumstantial consequences, fear, repentance, confession, forsaking, eventually peaceful. In that peace, the human condition is so very prone to forgetting all the pain and imagining that doing it again will not bring the same consequences as before. Oh, is that the human condition? People, stand with me right now and let's reach out to God and say, God, put the strength of soul inside my heart to really aspire to move forward. These last 3 weeks have been some of the strongest sort of, in my mind, Sunday morning, we'd normally go for this in discipleship classes and Bible colleges and think through those. But I would feel I would be a neglectful pastor if I didn't address something that I see happening all around us in the world that we live in, where slander, criticism, blasphemy, so many things are dismantling the character of great society, the character of a great country and a great nation. And you and I have a version two in our life, and God has that version two in his mind, and he is pointing us towards that person. He knows that every one of us are a better person than we are right now here today, and he's moving us towards that. Listen to me though, remember Stephen Furtick's message of presence. When you're looking forward, it always seems like it's moving away from you. But when you look back, you realize how far you've come. You're 1,000 times better than you were. You're not like that, you're not like that. Things have changed already. Don't get discouraged because you're looking at something that you're not today. Don't think, oh gee, you're gonna make it when you get to heaven. None of us are gonna get perfect here on earth, but we're always moving towards being a better kind of person. I guess I'm just trying to get us moving in the right direction rather than moving back or drifting sideways, pointing forwards and saying, let's keep aspiring on that trajectory and saying, my goals are not just circumstantial, they're to do with who I am. I'm aspiring not just to be successful, but to have value, to have meaningfulness in this life, to take the resources that God has put in my hand and to be faithful and true to have those words deep in my soul. So when people are standing around my grave, they'll say, he was faithful. He was true. And that they would say it while we're still alive. That people say, you can trust that guy. He's straight as an arrow. That's you, a Christian, a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. The church has had too many scandals in it. Let's not contribute to the history. Let's contribute to us, you and me, shining as bright as a light on a hill and being a beacon of hope to the world around us and saying, this is the way we should live our lives. This is the way we should stand up. When I first met Jesus, I was so disappointed that God was the God of the Christians, because all the Christians I knew were so nerdy and so old-fashioned and so legalistic and horrible. I'm not talking about that kind of Christianity here. Being more spiritual and having great character doesn't make you less human. You can be fully human with all the art, enjoyment, love, joys, celebrations, as well as being spiritual people. You don't have to think that holiness is somehow cutting off all the little niceties of life and you can only eat, you know, certain meats on a certain day, or you can't eat sweets, you can't watch TV, or things like that. And so you just gotta dumb down your whole life. No, I'm not talking about that kind of Christianity. I'm talking about you and I being true blue believers. When people scratch us or where they squeeze us, out comes Jesus. Out comes great character. Not some other thing, dark thing from some other world. When we're under pressure, we love back. We're the beautiful people of planet Earth in Jesus' name. Lift your hands to God, people. Father, I pray you help us take a hold of strong meat and chew it and digest it and say, you know what? I really do believe my life can have some changes in it. And we will be fruitful and we will abound in all kinds of ways, Father, here today, as we commit our ways into your hands. And we pray that you'll help us lay hold of this plow and not look back. We won't feel disheartened today, Lord, in any way or discouraged, feeling like I'm so not where I should be. We're 1,000 times better than wherever we were before. There is some distance to go, Lord, but there always will be. And we're just happy to know that you're with us all the way. You'll walk with us through our most failed moments, through our most difficult days, through the times when we are the darkest and most discouraged, and you'll walk with us when we're successful. Help us live with the peace of God in our heart, Lord, an untroubled conscience, and living right in the light of God. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a clap offering, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I can't wait for tonight. While every eye is closed, just stand here. I'd like you to close your eyes. If in these last couple moments of this service, if whoever's here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, you've never been born again, or you've been away from God and you need to come back, or you're just saying, I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. Right now, while every eye is closed, if that's you, in a couple seconds, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and we're going to pray for you. So right now, my friend, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, or you've been away from God, or you want to make sure you're going to heaven, right now, put your hand up high for me and say, that's me. I want to make sure. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Who else is? Just leave it up, would you? I just stay there. And who else is there? Anybody else at all? Thank you. I see your hand. Who else is there? Would you raise it high? Wave it around if I haven't seen it, because there's a lot of lights in my eyes, but thank you. Amen. I want to sort of pray this prayer. And those of you who have your hand raised, I see your hand. Thank you. Can you say these words to God after me? Every one of us. Dear God in heaven, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, give the Lord another clap offering.
At C3, we love stories. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, email us at stories@myc3church.net. You can also download the C3 Church app to keep up to date on events, listen to our latest album, and give as part of our tithes and offerings. We hope you have been blessed by this message. Use the handle @C3 Oxford Falls to follow us on social media.